I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you have come our way, and we encourage you to always ask questions if you have any questions, and we hope that you will come back at any opportunity that you have. Good to see Brother Roy back with us. Had a little rough spell there. It's good to see him. And Randall and Sherry back from their trip to a place that I don't like to think about because I'm not there. But we're glad to have Randall and Sherry back with us. You know, you think of adoption, it's really one of the most beautiful things, I think, in life, is adoption. And I think that we don't have to go too far in any of our families before we see that process around us. You know, adoption has been a part of my family, and it's been a part of so many of our families. But the saying is said many times that you don't get to choose your family. Well, with adoption, you do. You know, and many senses you do. There's some applied things there that adoption, there's a lot of choice involved in that process, and it's a very important process, and a process should be valued, and a process that should be considered. And certainly when it comes to our spiritual adoption, I think it's one that we should consider here today. You know, when you think of adoption, one of the first things I want you to think about is opportunity. You know, the first point says chosen. It gets a little tricky because in the Bible uses that word chosen so many times when it's talking about Christians. When we read the letters many times, elect, Christian, saint, that terminology is used. So many times when you read that word chosen, it's talking about those who have already taken on that opportunity that God has given. Well, what opportunity are you talking about? The opportunity of being an adopted child of God. The opportunity to be an adopted child of God. You know, you think of adoption, the first step of that is the parents or whoever's involved in that process, they have to almost extend that invitation. Would you like to be part of my family? You know, God has extended that invitation to us. He has said, why don't you become part of my family? It's almost like God is choosing us. He says, you are already chosen. I want you to be part of the family. The opportunity has been extended to become a Christian, to be a chosen spiritual child of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, written to Christians, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a lot of choices that happen in the adoption process. There's a choice of the parents, there's a choice of those involved in the process, and there's certainly the addition to the family. But we have to be careful with the words in the Bible because physical and spiritual adoption, although they have similarities, they're not exactly the same. When we think of physical adoption, if you're physically adopted under the age of 18, you don't necessarily have all those choices. Now certainly in the best case, the children would want that person that is wanting to take them on, that they would be going along with that process. But we see that word constantly throughout the Bible, elect, chosen, and a lot of times it leads to people and different ideas thinking about that. But certainly I want you to think today that God has chosen you. God has given you the opportunity to be part of his family. And when you think of the word elect, which is used in 1 Peter, as he's talking about the elect of God, those who have taken God up on his offer to be a child of God spiritually, God has picked you. And I think that's something that can't be overlooked, is God has picked each of us individually. God has extended the invitation to each of us individually. Why don't you become part of my family? And then I think that leads to a whole bunch of questions like, why would God choose me? You know, why would God choose me? You know, we think about ourselves, we think about the situation. You know, how is it possible that God would choose me? Certainly, I don't deserve to be chosen. Certainly, I don't deserve to be adopted by God, to be an adopted spiritual child of our God in heaven. But you think about that. The only way that we could really become an adopted child of God is out of the love, grace, and mercy of our Father. If He has extended an invitation to each person individually to become a spiritual child of His. And we understand when we think about this process, immediately we start to think of ourselves and we think, I am not worthy to be a spiritual child of God. I have sinned. I'm falling short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I'm flawed. How could I ever say that I could have the opportunity to be a child of God? And what we realize is the only way we can have that opportunity is because God has afforded it to us. We think of Romans chapter 5 verses 6 through 8. It says, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us, and when He did that, He extended an opportunity to each and every individual to become an adopted son of God. When we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, we start to read this and we start to see the situation that unfolds. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, it says, just as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure of His will. At the end of verse 5, we see exactly why God extends the opportunity to be adopted. At the end of verse 5, it tells us, according to the good pleasure of His will. And when anyone is entering the adoption process and they want to adopt some children, they're doing it because of their good pleasure. It's because they want to. It's because they desire to. And as we go throughout the Bible, that should really have an effect on us when we understand that God desires us to become His children. He wants us to be part of His family. You know, God chose everyone. He didn't have to. He chose everyone. You know, you think of that situation at the playground where you know, they're picking teams for basketball. And, you know, everybody's going, pick me, pick me, pick me. And everybody wants to be picked. Everyone wants to be selected. They don't want to be last picked. And you think of that situation, and many people, they start to think to themselves, well, when they're not selected, they think, well, maybe I'm just not a good basketball player. Maybe I don't have this, maybe I don't have that. When it comes to God's spiritual selection, when it comes to the opportunity, He extends it to all. You know, Jesus is at the playground and says, all of you are welcome to be on my team. All of you have the opportunity to be on my team. All of you can be part of the family. God desires us to be part of that family. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God cares. God has selected each and every individual to be part of His family. God has chosen everyone, and He didn't have to. But the truth is, He wanted to. You know, when you realize that God has selected you individually to be part of His family, it has to almost have an effect on you. When you realize you have an opportunity to become a saint, a child of God, one of God's elect, when God gives you that opportunity, it should have an effect on your mindset. And I think that we see that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When we realize that God has selected each of us individually, that He wants us to be part of His family, Not that we have an element of pride, but it's a feeling that God has selected me. God wants me to be part of this family. I am not a perfect individual, but it almost gives you a sense of that you're special. And when you realize that God has selected you individually, it leads us to not be ashamed of our God, our Father in heaven. We look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. We're not ashamed of our God. We're not ashamed of our Father that pulled us out of the world, that said become part of the spiritual family. You know, it's hard when you dig into this terminology, because if you use this terminology towards yourself, a lot of people look at you and they think you're trying to be uppity. But when we become a child of God, I think the Bible teaches us that that's called a saint. It doesn't only, it also, we see it in Scripture, not only that we are saints, but we're children of God. Not only are we children of God, we are the elect of God. And some people would hesitate using that terminology for themselves, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Is when we take the opportunity which God has afforded to become part of His family, we are a saint. We are a child of God. We are one of the elect. If we're going to speak, let us speak as the Bible speaks, and certainly that is the terminology that is used throughout the Bible in relation to those who have taken God up on the opportunity with the afford. Now, I don't want us to get the idea that God is the sole individual in this adoption process. We have a part as well. But we have to acknowledge God's part before we can acknowledge our part. And God has given each one an open invitation to become part of His family. He says, will you be one of my adopted children? And the question is, will you take Him up on that offer? The question this morning not is, has God chosen you? God has chosen each and every individual in this room, has afforded each individual the opportunity to become a part of His family. Well, why would He offer that? Because He loves you. Not based off of your perfection, but because He loves you. And that should have an effect on you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when the adoption process starts. When individuals say, I am seeking someone to add to my family. And certainly that's what God does each and every day through His inspired Word. If He is calling individuals to become part of His family, affording individuals the opportunity to become part of His family. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing. The question is not, will God choose you in this life? The question is, will you choose God in this life? God has already chosen you in the sense that He has given you the opportunity. He has given each and every individual that's walked on the face of this earth the opportunity to become one of His children. The question is not that has God given you the opportunity, has extended His hand to welcome you into His family. The question is, will you choose God? Will you choose God? Which brings us to choice. You know, in physical adoption, if you're under the age of 18, a lot of times you don't have a lot of choice in it. But one of the most beautiful things, in my opinion, in relation to adoption, is when the children have been adopted, they get past of the age of 18, which means that they can do whatever they want, and they go back to their adopted parents and say, you are my mother and you are my father. I think that's one of the most beautiful things. When it's not necessarily out of force or anything like that, that the children recognize that they have been adopted, that these are the ones that have taken care of them. It's one of the most beautiful things. Unfortunately, our God has to deal with the opposite so many times. You know, this actually happened in my family. I think it happens in a lot of families where adoptions take place. But when the adopted children, there's one thing that can hurt adopted parents probably more than anything else, and that's for them to say, you're not my father, you're not my mother. You know, I think that's many times what God has to face each and every day as people deny His opportunity for people to become part of His family. God has extended the invitation to all. He desires all men to be saved, and He says, please come, be part of my family. And people all around the world each and every day are saying, no, you're not my father. How hurtful that has to be to our Father in heaven, who has afforded us the opportunity, who has done everything for us, who went to the cross and died so we could have the opportunity, the forgiveness of sins, to be added to the church, to be added to the family of God, to say such a thing. But the reality is you have a choice in this. God has afforded the opportunity at all. Yes, He has, but we still have a choice. We have to choose God. And we need to realize that God chose us from the beginning. When we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, He wanted you to be part of his family. This was not a backup plan. This was not a plan that was put in after a whole bunch of things failed. This was the plan from the beginning, that God would have an opportunity for each and every individual to be part of his family. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation." Now we have to remember that these are written to Christians, but it says, because God from the beginning chose you. Chose you for salvation. Through sanctification by the Spirit and the belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel for obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus chose you from the beginning. That kind of sounds like predestination. We'll talk about that here in a few moments. But God has extended the invitation to all. That's what he's talking about. He's extended the invitation to all. And the question is, how is God getting the message out? He's getting the message out by the gospel. The gospel is the invitation to become part of God's family, to be added to the family. This is not an afterthought. From the beginning, God knew that he would have a designated place for individuals that would be saved. He would have a designated place in Christ, part of Christ's family, sons of God spiritually. And the call goes out to all. The call is not limited to just a few individuals. The call, the opportunity is not limited to a certain creed or a certain group or a certain race. The gospel call goes out to all. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." It says all. We turn over to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after Jesus, if they desire to come after God, if they desire to take God up on the gospel call, the opportunity to become one of his spiritual children." Now, when we have this discussion, a lot of people get into, you know, discussion of, you know, predestination and those things, but I think the question is far more simple than that. I think the question goes like this: is the gospel call of salvation conditional or unconditional? Is becoming part of God's family, is there conditions on your part, or are there no conditions on your part? And I think that's the question that has to be considered. Let's consider for a moment that the gospel call, the opportunity to become a Christian, is unconditional. If it's unconditional, then salvation would be an act of God that could not be argued, could not be disputed, and it would be universal salvation. If God said, "Become part of my family," and this is an act of God, and you have no part of it, then every individual, living, dead, gone, and passed away, would have been an individual of God's family. And really, when you go that direction and say, you know, it's already predetermined, it leaves no responsibility for the individual. That God has already selected the individual, it's unconditional, there's nothing that you can do about it. But then we start to read the New Testament scriptures and we try to harmonize some things and we start to see things like references of hell. Not only do we see references of hell, but we read throughout the Bible and we start to see this idea, Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14, that there are two paths. In Matthew chapter 7 verses 23 through 24, we see people on judgment day saying things. "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, done all these works in your name?" We go to Matthew chapter 26, we see a judgment scene. It seems like that the Bible is pointing out that you have a lot of choices to make on the face of this earth. And I think that when it comes to our life, when it comes to us becoming children of God, it is a choice. It is a choice. Will you become a child of God? God wants to adopt you. He has a desire to adopt you. He wants you to be part of his family, but that doesn't eliminate the choice that you have. Becoming a son of God, a child of God, spiritually, there are some conditions. Certainly God wants you, but I think you'll be lost if you don't choose God. You have to choose God, or you will reject God. And then we start to ask ourselves some questions. Well, is God unwilling to save then? Or is God unable to save? And those are almost the exact questions that we see in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. You know, when I read that, but your iniquities have separated you from God, that seems like there's a little bit on your part. God has done everything that he can do. He sent his son to die for you so you could have an opportunity of your sins being washed away, so that you could be forgiven of your sins, so you could be added to the family of God. But God is taking volunteers. He is not going to force anyone to become one of his children. It's not that God cannot save. That's not the problem. It's not that God is not able. It's not that he is not willing. But the deal is that you have to understand that there is a part. Your part is choosing God to be your father. You know, when I really do think of that adoption story, it does get emotional. Because once adopted children get above the age of 18, really, I think that's when the choice really, in the physical world, you know, comes to a front. Because that child has some choices. How they're going to handle their adopted parents for the rest of their lives. And like I said, there's the most beautiful picture of adoption when that 18-year-old child respects, loves their parents, and they say, I choose you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be with you, and I love you, and I thank you for all that you've done. But on the other hand, you know, in my family in particular, I saw it go the other way. But once they reach that age where they can make the choice to walk away, they do. God wants you to be one of his children so desperately. He wants you to be added to the family and become part of it. But he will not do it by force. Christians are all volunteers. Christians are all volunteers. You know, when we look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And it continues on in verse 4. It says, Just as he chose us in him. That's very important information in verse 4. It says, just as he chose us in him. There is a designated spot that is safe. And as the verse continues on, it says, since the foundation of the world. God, before life began, before the foundation of the world, God knew where his family would be. It will be in his son, Jesus Christ. It's not individuals. That's not what we're talking about. As you continued on, predestined is thrown out there. I think the predestined is talking about the location and not names. Some individuals go, oh, who's predestining the names? He's telling you exactly who's going to be saved and not be saved. No. He has predestined the location. Before the foundation of the world, the location was chosen where God's family would be. Where is God's family going to be? It's going to be in Christ. And that's where all spiritual blessings are. That's where all forgiveness is. That's where all spiritual blessings are. They're in Christ Jesus. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. The location is what God has planned out. God knew that there would have to be a safe place for man, where forgiveness of sins could be, where all spiritual blessings could be. Then the question becomes, how can I become part of this family? How can I choose Christ? How can I get into Christ? Well, we look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. It says, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. He has told us, he knew a long time ago, before the foundations of the world, that there would be God's family. God's family is in Christ. That's where all spiritual blessings are. That's where forgiveness is. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, it says, For we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. When we go over to Romans chapter 6, I think we come away with a very similar idea. That baptism is very important in us choosing God as our Father. God has made his decision. He's going to choose those who are in Christ. The question is, are you a son of God, a saint, one of the elect? God has predetermined the place where those individuals are, and those individuals are in Christ, and we have a decision in that. God will not force you to be in Christ. He will not force you to be part of his family. He will not force you to be added to His family, but He desperately wants you to do so. You know, when you really think of this process, it really is amazing, because step one, without God, we don't even have an opportunity to be part of God's family. Without the forgiveness of sins, without the grace of God, without His mercy, without the forgiveness of sins, we don't have a chance of being in God's family. But God has given each and every one of us that opportunity. The question is, will you choose Him? Will you choose Him? We see that baptism definitely has a crucial part of that. It puts us into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, and we can be one of the sons of God. The perfect adoption story, in my mind, is when the parent chooses the child. It gives the child, the children, the opportunity to be part of the family. But really, that alone doesn't make a perfect adoption story. The perfect adoption story goes on where the children choose the father as well, and they are added to the family. You know, you can make the perfect adoption story this day by choosing God. God has chosen you in the sense that He has given all of us the opportunity. He has extended His hands with grace and mercy and His love. He's extended to all of us and said, please become part of my family, but He will not force you to. You have to claim God as your Father. You have to want to be part of the family. The perfect adoption story has not only the parents, the guardians, choosing the child, but the child choosing the parents. And a story like that just makes you cry. If you've ever seen something quite like it, where you see children, you know, you see them out in public, you can look at them and you know that that child is not biologically the children. But when you see their relationship, you see the way that they love one another, they care for one another, you see the relationship between them, there are a few things that match the beauty of that in this life. The perfect adoption story where both parties are choosing each other. Unfortunately, God has to deal a whole lot with people rejecting Him. But we have the parent choose the child. Hopefully we have the child that chooses the parent. And when that happens spiritually, when we have God extend the invitation and we have individuals that accept the invitation, what happens is they are added to the family. Added to the family. In Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Have you been added to the family of God? Have you been added to the church? Are you in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, now therefore we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. When you become members of a household, you know what you're entitled to? You're entitled to inheritance. And we see an inheritance in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Is that when you become part of a family, whether adopted or physical, there's that inheritance aspect to it. We have an inheritance when we become spiritual children of God. When we're added to the family of God, we have a spiritual inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When you are added to the family of God, you have a place reserved in heaven. You know, that's an idea when you think about that, a place reserved in heaven. When you choose God and say, I want to become a member of this family, I want to be added to the family, you are entitled to an inheritance. And that inheritance is a spiritual inheritance of heaven. Now, of course, there's a lot of things that can happen over the course of this life. We can walk away, we can do all kinds of things, and that's where a lot of people, when they think of these things, they get lost in thoughts of, you know, things that perhaps we shouldn't go there. But we realize that God knows who will obey. He does know that. God is omniscient. He knows all things. The question is, does God knowing it force anyone to do anything? You know, a lot of times we know things before they happen. Now, we're not as powerful as God, but certainly a lot of times we can look at our children and we can look down the road and we can see things that are going to happen. Now, do we know it 100%? No. God has that ability. But God knowing whether people are going to do right or wrong, does that affect free will? And I believe it doesn't. God knows all the decisions we're going to make throughout our life, but I don't think that impacts necessarily our free will. Is that we are volunteers. We have the will to decide whether we're going to do right or wrong. God knows who's going to obey and not obey. God's going to know who's going to walk away and who's going to come back. God knows those things, but God's foreknowledge does not affect our free will. The question is, what will your decision be? What will you decide in relation to your spiritual adoption? Are you adopted son of God? Are you an adopted child of God spiritually? Do you believe enough to obey the things that God has taught? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. All who obey him. The perfect adoption story. The parent chooses the child chooses the parent, and they're added to the family. Will you accept the invitation of our Lord to become part of His spiritual family? You know, it's amazing that God gives us such a choice. It's amazing that God gives us such an opportunity. It's humbling. And certainly it should affect our mindset going forward as we live our lives, that we try to please our Father in heaven, that we're not ashamed of our Father in heaven because He has given us such an opportunity out of His grace and mercy to give us an opportunity to be part of His family. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to be added to the family. There's nothing more than that we would love to do this day. By hearing the word, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We repent. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and we're baptized. And based off Galatians and Romans 6, we see that that's when we get put into Christ. When we're added to the church, when we're added to the family, where all spiritual blessings are. Perhaps you've walked away and you need to come back. If you need the prayers of the church, you need to become a New Testament Christian, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.